Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And a big win for the Predators yesterday. A nice start to the bubbles in Edmonton and Toronto for the NHL. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good friend Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Oh, doing well, man. Excited for the next couple of days and the days after that, and obviously hoping that they've found a way to pull this thing off without it going off the rails like we're seeing in baseball.
Absolutely. So, Greg, what's been your impression so far of the bubbles at Edmonton and Toronto in terms of what the NHL has done for security, but also the quality of play, the broadcast, everything that the fans have seen and been exposed to so far?
Well, the bubbles themselves, they look like they've done a pretty good job kind of understanding what the players are looking for, what's going to be the thing that's going to keep them amused and entertained and in kind of a good mental place. Like, I like what some of the teams did by putting the photos of the families inside the room that seemed to actually have some meaning to the players. The NHL worked with the players to kind of figure out what amenities they were looking for. So, you know, when you're seeing video of guys playing golf video games and, you know, having certain restaurants open and stuff, I mean, that's in collaboration with the players. So they listened to what they were saying, and they came up with some pretty cool stuff. I did have an agent tell me that any of the complaints that you might have expected to hear from NHL players, kind of like how you saw NBA players taking photos of their food like it was the Fyre Festival, they've kind of been encouraged not to do that. When we're a few more weeks into this thing, if things aren't up to standard, then maybe you can complain. But I think there's just been a general encouragement for hockey players to kind of be a little bit more rah-rah about this stuff, and I think it's kind of come through. As far as the gameplay, I mean, I knew it was going to be hockey inside of a giant TV studio, and I kind of like it. Like, I feel like anything that you could have done to make it feel like you weren't playing inside of a cavernous building of empty seats, which I think would have been a depressing sight for hockey fans to tune into, is going to be a good thing. And so far, the camera angles, the audio, the murmur of the crowd they're putting on the games, I think it's all working for me, and I'm excited to see what the rest of it looks like.
Yeah, see, like, if someone gives me free Tim Hortons, I will not complain about anything else. Ever. So I think there's a little bribery at work here, too, maybe. I'm with you, Greg, on the product. I will say that I think for those of us in media who are used to being at these games in the postseason or just covering hockey in general, I certainly like the aerial view to be able to see everything. I would like more of, we get some of that on the broadcast, you know, I guess the all 12 or whatever you want to call it. I would like more of that. I wonder, like, if fans would be okay with that. Like, what do you think about, you know, as a viewer, I guess as a hockey viewer, you used to like the normal TV view of it, but I wonder if, like, people can embrace more that aerial view that gives you a better look at everything that's unfolding.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, like, there's a few things that I've always thought have held hockey back from really becoming huge in the United States. And, you know, one of them is the fact that not everybody plays hockey with the regularity they play, you know, basketball, let's say. The other one is that it's hard to bet on the sport, although I think it's becoming increasingly easier both access-wise and on the stuff that you could bet on. And then the third thing is that, you know, when you go to a hockey game, it feels different than when you watch a game on television. The television's never been able to really capture the speed and the velocity and the excitement of watching a game in the arena. And so if you add more cameras, and they've added 12 new additional cameras in both Toronto and Edmonton, I think you increase the chances of these games feeling as special as they do when you're actually watching them live in the arena. And so, you know, the camera angles that they've introduced, some people have sort of pushed back on them because they're non-traditional, because it is a different look. But I'm all for it. I mean, like, you know, the more that you can present these games in particular that are being played in a vacuum, that aren't going to have fans giving us the same vibe that we get in the playoffs, the better it's going to be. Like, give me something different looking. Give me something offbeat. And maybe at the end of the day, you end up bringing us closer to the experience of watching the game live than we've ever had before.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN on the line with us. And, Greg, if you had to identify some teams as the qualifying rounds get underway this weekend that should be on upset alert, who are two or three of those teams that you think should be on upset alert?
Well, I mean, one of the only upsets I picked was the Predators going out in the first round. And I hate to do it because on paper I think they're a superior team to Arizona. You know, Arizona looked horrible yesterday, so I might be wrong on this because they simply didn't generate enough offense whatsoever in their exhibition game. If they learn their lessons and they can get going a little bit, I think they're a dangerous team, because the teams that are built on a bedrock of defense, I think are going to be the ones that are going to be on good footing to start off this tournament. There are going to be some series that'll be a bit more fire wagon, and then there's going to be some series that are going to be played closer to the vest, and I think this is going to be one of them. And I really put my faith in Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel to make a difference in the series for Arizona. Hall, I'm confident in. Kessel is a guy who has a very strong postseason pedigree, battled injuries all season, had a few months, obviously, to heal up, and I'm interested to see exactly what kind of impact he can finally have for this Coyotes team, because it really wasn't the offensive impact that they thought that he'd have. The other series that I think has intrigued a lot of people, although I did go chalk here as well, is the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. Now, the Rangers have really had the Hurricanes number. They've beaten them pretty solidly, I think, in like 9 straight games. And they're obviously they were on an upswing at the end of the season, one of the best offensive teams in the NHL, with Artemi Panarin earning a Hart Trophy nomination for his efforts. Carolina is missing Dougie Hamilton. They're missing Brent Pesce, two very key defensemen. It is the strongest part of the team, so if you're going to take a loss, take it there. But a lot of people, especially on the ESPN picks that we put out earlier this week, believe the Rangers are going to win this series, and that would be a pretty large upset in the 6 versus 11 series. So that would be upset alert for the Eastern Conference, I think.
If the Preds avoid this upset, Greg, do you think that this team has ingredients at all to really cause trouble in Edmonton?
Sure. I mean, you know, if they can settle on a goalie, and obviously John Hines is still kind of mulling that over as to who's going to get the nod, and continues to say what he told us a few weeks ago on ESPN and Ice, our podcast, which is that it's a good problem to have. If they could settle on one guy and that guy gets going, then they could be a very dangerous team. You know, I think that the reformation of the top line with Johansson and Forsberg and Arvidsson, if that can stick, that's a good thing, because that's a line that can, if it's really going, can win a series on its own. You know, the contributions of Matt Duchene down the lineup, I think you're hoping that gives the Predators the secondary scoring behind that line that they've been looking for a very long time. And, you know, the blue line is one of the most accomplished in the Western Conference. So, like I said, on paper, this team has a lot going for it. I just think that we've all waited for them to really put it all together for a stretch that goes longer than a week.
Yeah.
And if that happens, I mean, there's no reason why the Preds can't go on a run in a Western Conference that certainly has some teams that are beatable. But, you know, it's going to really come down, I think, for any of these teams to the matchups that they get going forward. And that's what makes this unprecedented playoff so much fun, is that while you do have these 5-game qualification round series playing out, you also have the round robin going on with the top 4 teams. And the fact that they're reseeding for the first time in 8 years, I think, is really what throws this thing into, you know, complete chaos insofar as trying to prognosticate what's going to happen, because you simply don't know, you know, who's going to come out of the round robin, who's going to come out of the qualification round, and who's going to end up beating against each other in the next round when we get to the round of 16.
Greg, when I look at the Blues in a tournament like this, one of the things I think that makes them so terrifying to play against, number one, aside from being a Stanley Cup champion, is their style of play in a series that could just grind you down and wear you down. But number two, they were able to be really successful for most of the season, in large part without Vladimir Tarasenko. Now getting him back, what sort of an added threat does that give the Blues, getting him back heading into these playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the more remarkable parts of the regular season was that he was limited to 10 games because of shoulder surgery, and then they wind up, like, winning the West, which is just incredible. And then on top of that, I mean, like, they should be fatigued after going to the very, very, very last game you could possibly play in the playoffs before winning the Cup. I mulled that team over a long time as being my team to come out of the West just because of, you know, having the ability to rest up for, you know, 4 or 5 months after that grind of the regular season, after the grind of their postseason. And also, you know, in making picks in these playoffs, I think you have to kind of approach this thing from a psychological standpoint as well. Like, what are the teams that are going to be able to handle playing inside of a vacuum in the arena? And what are the teams that are going to be able to handle, you know, being away from their families and being stuck in a hotel and all that stuff? And when you look at the Blues and you think about the camaraderie and the cohesiveness they showed last postseason, you start to wonder whether the fact that all those guys are basically back would speak to them being able to handle these conditions more than others. So from an on-ice standpoint, I ended up not picking them because I think there were just some underlying numbers with their play this season that didn't blow me away. But that could be covered up by, you know, getting Tarasenko back and having Binnington go nuts again in the playoffs. And then from an off-ice perspective, I think they might be built better than some teams to handle this grind. So it wouldn't shock me to see the Blues come out of the West in any way, shape, or form.
And everyone's picking the Lightning again, which I totally get. But I guess, do you think that last year somehow ends up, other than the fact that they're loaded and certainly good enough to win this tournament, do you think that, I guess, plays in their favor in any way, even though this is such a different situation that they're in right now?
Yeah, it's a harsh lesson to learn, which is that, you know, if you have a chance to put the pedal down, put it down, right? Like, don't ease off. And they eased off in the first game of that series against the Blue Jackets, and then they got punched in the mouth and didn't know what to do with themselves. I picked the Lightning, too, and I picked the Lightning, one, because I think they're the most talented team in the league and in every facet of that team, and if they can stay healthy. And I know there's some concern about exactly how healthy Steven Stamkos is going to be throughout these playoffs. It seems like that's a constant issue for him when it comes to the postseason. But the other reason I picked them, to go back to what we were just talking about before, about the psychology of things, I feel like that's a team that benefits to not being in the chaotic playoff atmosphere. I mean, if you go back beyond what happened last season, and what happened last season was two losses on home ice, and then they get swept by the Blue Jackets. Go back to Game 7 against the Capitals. Go back to Game 7 against the Penguins. This is a team that when they would reach the conference final round would kind of lose itself and blow series because they just didn't have the mental fortitude to close out teams. And I'm wondering to myself whether that has to do with the environments they're playing in. I covered the Washington Capitals for a long time, and you'd see it year after year where they could feel the tension in the building from the fans when things weren't going right. And I do wonder if the Lightning kind of feel the same way sometimes. And I do wonder if playing these games in a vacuum, in a controlled environment, is going to end up benefiting a really good hockey team because they won't have to deal with those sort of Pavlovian responses to tension in the building that they've come to do in the playoffs.
Good stuff. Greg Wyshynski has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Greg, thanks so much for taking time to join us, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. It's going to be great.
Good stuff from Greg there, one of the best in the business, and certainly going to be interesting to continue to monitor what he's talking about there with some of these upper echelon teams. Also, like, how do these seeding games come into play as well when you're coming off a team that was just playing for their lives in the qualifying round? All this going to be very interesting to react to, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car?
waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.